Our sister Janie, that was a blessing to my heart. That kind of calmed me down a little bit and helped me. I appreciate that. I'm glad the Lord's on our side today. I'm thankful for that. I'm just glad He's, as Brother Raines would say, He loves us too much to do us wrong. He's too wise to make a mistake. My, it's good. Can I just say it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning? I know there ain't but a handful of us. Some of you didn't get the word, so you're here, and I'm glad you are. That surely helps me. Well, I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this morning. I want to talk to you about perilous times. I feel like that what the Lord put on my heart, this scripture, as we went through this last week or two, and all the interest and all the talk about the virus and all those things and all the precautions, this scripture just kept coming back to my mind. Sometime back in Sunday school, we studied through 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and seemed like just on a periodic basis, the Lord brings this text to my mind, or another text that we've studied. And so I understand these are the pastoral epistles written to pastors. We say young pastors, and I guess that to be the case. But I think there is application for the church. I think there's application for individual lives, for the believer's life. And so that's where I want to begin this morning. And I know we've prayed already, but my manner, my way is to pray before I get started. And so I want to pray again. And I ask you, if there is anyone tuned in this morning, please pray with me and for me. Our dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I'm very needy. Father, I just need you to give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. I'm asking you, Lord, if you would, to get glory out of all that's said and done. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord. I know there's a lot of people it's not your house that'd like to be, but I thank you I'm here. Thank you, Lord. I love you. I need you, Father. Get glory. You do what needs doing. We'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, as we come to this text, it starts out, here's Paul, and Timothy is in perilous times. Paul is in prison, soon to be beheaded. And there are enemies of the cross, enemies of the truth, that Timothy is going to have to face. And so Paul is seeking to get him ready. And as we look in chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Paul, talking to young Timothy, says this, that perilous times shall come. Now, I think it's safe to say that perilous times had come.
Yes, sir.
I think Timothy was facing some hard times, but Paul wants him to know what lays ahead. And I guess I would be safe saying this: we're in perilous times. That word perilous carries the idea of danger. It carries the idea of possible harm. And so Paul tells Timothy that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he begins to give him some characteristics of those last days. He said this, that men would have a misguided love. They would love themselves. They would love pleasures more then they would love God. He said this about those days, this religious crowd in these last days are going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power of God. My, we live there. We have a land of religious form, but no power, no God. And he mentioned that they would be unable to come to the knowledge of the truth. I look around at the era, the spiritual era, the biblical era of our day, and it's unbelievable to me. People that's been in church 30 or 40 years know very little about the truths of the Word of God. And my, we're just living in a day that there's just truth is just hard to find. It's hard to find. And many times it's hard to find people that want the truth. They just struggle with the truth. And so Paul said they're unable to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he said this, that the godly is going to be persecuted. If you look down in verse number 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we see persecution. And then he says this, and I think this is an important truth for us. He says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's in verse number 13. Here's what he's saying. The times are going to get worse and worse. Now I understand we've got all this, and I know this is the day that I'm supposed to encourage and tell everybody this will pass and it will pass and we will get through it. But can I just say, according to God's word, the times are going to get worse and worse. Worse and worse. And so we see perilous times. There's a lack of love for God. No love for God. There's a form of godliness. No truth by spiritual, so-called spiritual leadership. Persecutions to the godly. The evil. It's just going to get worse and worse. False seducers and deceivers will get worse and worse. So Paul knew that. He knew Timothy and the world he lived in. Things were going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And can we who are older not see that in our day? When we were children, it was nothing like it is now. My, back when I was a boy, drugs was, in my elementary years anyway, drugs was never a mention. There was nothing said about, we did not have a drug problem. We did not have a gang problem. We did not have pestilence and disease like we're looking at today. Things have just gotten worse and worse, if I could say that. And the Bible tells us they will get worse. But Paul, knowing that under these circumstances, under difficult times, under perilous times, in dangerous times, the flesh has a tendency to react in an ungodly manner. There are folks right now who are living in such fear they cannot live their lives. I understand all the government's asking us to do, and I appreciate good citizens and trying to do and line up by what is being asked of them. But the fact of the matter, there's some living in total fear. You know what that is? That is a response of the flesh to the perilous times we're living in. They allow the flesh gets a grip of fear, and fear dictates and controls the flesh. And so Paul knew there those emotions of the flesh that would come from these difficult days. Discouragement, fear, discouragement, depression. Maybe a loss of faith. Maybe a tendency to take matters into your own hands and get ahead of God. In perilous times, we need to be careful that we do not let the flesh lead us to ungodliness, but that we stay focused upon the Lord. And so Paul, knowing young Timothy was going to be fighting some of these things in his life, he gives him some instructions of what to do. He tells him what he ought to do in perilous times. He lets him know what he ought to, how he ought to conduct himself in these perilous times. And that's what I want to share with you. If Paul told Timothy in these perilous times, here's some things that you ought to do, maybe, that would help us. What should we do? Here we are, and you know what's going on. I don't need to go through all that and all the nations facing, all we're looking at. What should we do as children of God? What is the right thing for us to do? Excuse me. In verse number 14, after Paul goes through a list of characteristics of the last days, he says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. Hey, you're living in perilous times. Things are bad. Things are going to get worse. But here's what I want you to do. Just continue. Just continue. Just keep on keeping on. You just stay on course. Don't you slow up. Don't you stop. Don't you sit down. Don't you do this. You just stay on course. Continue on, Timothy. Continue on. Well, what should we continue in? In John chapter 8, verse 31, the Bible teaches us we should continue in obedience to the Word of God. Continue in obedience to the Word of God. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 43, we're to continue in the grace of God. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we're to continue in the faith of God. In chapter Acts 26, verse 22, we're to continue in witness. In Romans 11 and 22, we're to continue in godliness. In Galatians 2 and 5, we're to continue in the truth. In Colossians 4 and 2, we're to continue in prayer. In 1 Timothy 2 and 15, we are to continue in faith and charity and holiness. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, we're to continue in brotherly love. I guess what I would challenge you as children of God to realize and accept is that the Christian life is a life of continuing on. It's a life of continuation. Man that's born of woman's a few days and full of troubles. We have one trouble, we get out of that, we're going to another trouble, we get out of that, we're going to another. And that's what life is. Just one problem, one challenge, one trouble, one persecution after another. But what you and I, as children of God, have got to do, we've got to continue on. We've got to continue on. The Christian life is a life of continuation for the glory of God. And let me add this to it, even in perilous times. Even in perilous times. All right, so he tells young Timothy, he says you need to continue on. But I want you to notice in verse number 2 where the focus is. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Number one, not only do we need to continue on, but we need to focus on the Word of God. Now we're getting a lot of inputs right now. We're getting inputs from the medical world. We're getting inputs from the government. We're getting inputs from the preachers. We're getting inputs from our family. There's all sorts of communication coming our way. But can I say to you, our emphasis ought to be on what, not what man says, but what God has to say. Brother Ronnie, I just believe it's what God says that matters. And here's what Paul told young Timothy. You're going to face some perilous times. You continue on, but I want you, as you continue on, to put a focus on the Word of God. You say, what do we need in this day and time, this dangerous times, this perilous times, when we don't know what the future holds and we don't know where things are going? I'll tell you what we need to do. Focus on the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to help us. Don't you see? I don't know if I ought to say this, but I'm sick of the little big shots telling me what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. Let's let God tell us a thing or two. Oh my. I'm afraid we've lost our focus on the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say? In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5, the Bible says this: let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Listen, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me say that again. The Word of God says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And then it goes on and says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Do you have a helper? That's what I want to ask. We don't realize that very much. We don't realize that too often. Fact of the matter is, we have a helper to help us through. We've got one at our side that will help us, don't you see? How do I know that? I focused on the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God says, don't you see? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, doesn't that help you in these perilous times we're living in, to know God will never leave us nor help nor forsake us, but he'll help us along the way? My, that helps me. I don't know about you, but that helps me. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite scriptures, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If I can get over there, and I'd say most of you in the room could quote it. The Bible says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Here's what I want to say. On that verse, I used to think all things would be good. It doesn't say that. It says, we know that all things work together for good. So whatever comes, we know it's going to work for our good. You know, God can take a bad thing and make a good thing out of it. Isn't that something? That's the God we serve. My, that excites me. He can just take a bad thing and make good out of it. I've seen that happen. He did that with David and Bathsheba. Solomon come out of that union. It wasn't a good thing, but God took a bad thing, brought good out of it. That's the God we serve, friend. My, it ought to excite us. I'm simply saying to you, we ought to get in this book and find us some promises to lean on. It'll help you in perilous times, dangerous times. The flesh wants to go contrary, wants to act in an ungodly manner. Just get you some promises out of the Word of God. And so we see we're to continue. We're to continue on, no place to quit. And then we're to focus upon the Word of God. But I want you to notice also in chapter 4 and verse number 2, preach the Word, but then he said this little phrase, be instant in season, out of season. Now, you can say a lot about that means be faithful when you have opportunity, be faithful when you don't have opportunity. I think I'd just like to say this. It's very important that we be faithful in perilous times. We need to be faithful. You see, we're in an unstable world. This world sees nothing but instability. That's why they're falling apart. Everything's unstable. I mean, the government's not stable. Their health is not stable. Their jobs are not stable. We would be quite the testimony if we show them spiritual stability, spiritual faithfulness. That's right. We need to be faithful in these unstable times. If I could just say it this way, we ought to be steadfast and unmovable. I mean, we ought to just toe the line. My, what a witness, what a light we would be in this dark world we're living in. Let me just say this before I go on. I've got three or four more I want to mention, and I will go quickly, but it's not enough to continue, but we need to faithfully continue. We need to be faithful. We have believers today who's unfaithful in prosperous times. They're unfaithful when everything's going well, when everything's good, when things are what they ought to be. But my, that true child of God, if he wants to be a light and a witness and shine in a dark world, he just needs to stay faithful. Continue faithfully with a focus on the Word of God. But then I want you to notice too in chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all, here's my word, long suffering. And I'd like to change that word long suffering, although it may be, there may be a little difference in those two words, but I'd like to change the word to patience. I think people would relate to that more in the day we're living in. We need to be a patient people. That's where we're at today. My, James, if I can get flipped over there in a timely manner, James 1 and 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. 1 Peter 5 and 10 doesn't use the word patient, but it has the concept in it. In 1 Peter 5 and 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, and here's where I see patience in this verse, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, there's something that patience does for us that we can't get anywhere else. There's just something about being patient, waiting on God, trusting God, not taking things into your own hands, not trying to solve. I understand God expects us to do our part. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about trying to get ahead of God. My, we may be in perilous times. Timothy was in perilous times. But here's what Paul said. In these perilous times, just be long-suffering. Just be patient. Our God's in control and he'll take care of things. You just be patient. Wait on him. Well, I believe that's important. I believe that's important in this day that we're living in. I think it's a necessity. You get ahead of God and you're going to make a mess out of things. You better be sure you don't get ahead of God. That's all I'm saying this morning. It's so easy. It's so easy in perilous times to take matters into your own hands. Get ahead of him. My, let's be careful. Let's be careful that we don't get ahead of him. Well, what else do we see? What else did he tell young Timothy to do in these troublesome times he was living in? I want you to notice verse number 5. But watch thou in all things. Be watchful. He said then, I might say it this way. Don't go to sleep, spiritually speaking. Don't get drunk on the cares of this world, this life, the concerns and the cares and the pleasures. Don't allow that to rob you of your sober mind. Here's what he said, you watch. Can I say, I'm convinced one of the great downfallings of God's people is their failure to watch in a godly manner. How many times have you gotten back home, sat down and thought, man, I had an opportunity to witness. Yes, sir. And I did not take it. You know what the problem was? You wasn't watching. And I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm not throwing stones. I'm just saying I am convinced that we're not the watchful people we ought to be. I'm convinced in perilous times there's people who will listen who would not ordinarily listen. I think we ought to be watchful for opportunities to bring glory to our Lord, especially in perilous times. My, we ought to be watchful for opportunities, but we ought to be watchful for the devil attacking our life, attacking our family, attacking our children, our grandchildren. We ought to be watching. He's coming. I'll guarantee you he has dealt with some of God's people saying he's not going to take care of you. He's not going to look out for you. You better do this. You better do that, because God could have stopped this had he wanted to. The devil's the accuser. He'll accuse our God to us and he'll accuse us to our God. My, you better be watching for the devil, for his temptations. He's going to tempt you. My, you better be watching out for the weak brother. There are some folks that's just weak and struggling. They struggle. They can't handle much. It doesn't take much to overload them. And my, they're subject to stumble. They're subject to fall. And you and I need to be on guard to help and encourage them along the way, you see. Well, we need to be on watch for our family, for sinners. I think especially in perilous times, God's people need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. Are you watchful? I mean, my, that convicts me when I say that. Yes. That convicts my soul. Sometimes I'm so one dimension in my mind that I'm just going one way and focused on one thing, and I'm not watchful like I ought to be. God wants us to be watchful, people. There'll be opportunities in perilous times we might not have in prosperous times. Let's be a watchful people. It's not a time for spiritual sleep. It's not a time for spiritual sleep. You need to be aware of that. My. And then in verse number 5, we see this, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. God's people, I don't know if I ought to say this. I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm almost rude with my plain speech, but I just know how to talk my way. I think a lot of times God's people are just childish. They can't handle very much. They break down real easy. They have no spiritual strength. And the reason they have no spiritual strength is they can't get weak enough to be strong. Paul, 3 times in the Hebrew letter, he asked the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh. I'm going to try to find that if I can. I'm in Hebrews and not 2 Corinthians. I said the Hebrew letter. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 11. I want you to listen where true spiritual strength comes from. Paul, speaking of his thorn in the flesh, said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." He would not take away the challenge in Paul's life. But he said, "I'll give you grace to handle it." And then he said this, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." I can be strong through you when you're weak. I can help you handle what you can't handle. My strength can do in your life what your strength can't do in your life. And then he goes on and he says this, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." My, that's a powerful statement. "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." Here's what I want you to get. "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul said, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." You say, that doesn't make sense. It's because when he realized he couldn't do it, and he looked to the Lord helped him. Now, we may have some enduring to do somewhere along the way. We will. We will have. It's not we may have. I shouldn't have said that. We will have. You're going to have some tough times. It's not always going to be easy. I don't know if this is going to be the tough times. This thing may be solved in a week or two. I don't know about that, but I'm going to tell you this. Somewhere in life, you're going to have some tough times. You're going to face things you can't get through without God, without Him helping you, without His strength working in your life. And my, we need that in perilous times. We need some endurance. And this thing of endurance, this thing of suffering, this thing of afflictions and hard times, it'll develop spiritual characters. Nothing else will. Some of the most godly, some of the greatest Christians I know, it appears, have suffered the most. That's how it appears to me. They've suffered the most. It develops character. It limits our affections to this world. Isn't that right?
That's right.
When you suffer and you have problems and you've got that thorn in the flesh to deal with, man, you appreciate that glorified body a whole lot more. Let me just say it that way. It limits our affections to the world, and it creates a longing for the heavenly. I'm telling you, we have gotten too at home in this world. We're too at home. We've driven our tent stakes too deep on planet Earth. We've feathered our nest too much. We're at home. We're at ease. We just have it so well. I'm telling you, we need to be a people of endurance. God's people down through the ages have been called on to face a lot. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 36, it says, "In others," talking about those great saints who through faith live victorious lives, "and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings." They had cruel trials. They were scourged. "Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment." Paul spent more time in jail than he did free. It almost seems, I know that may not be entirely right, but he spent a lot of time in jail. It goes on and says, talking about these others, they were stoned. "They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." I mean, they just lived in the mountains. Brother Ronnie, just caves, just wherever. They'd crawl under a rock somewhere and get out the rain. Just They just didn't have a good life on planet Earth. But the Bible says, of whom the world was not worthy. Well, I say hallelujah. You know His grace is sufficient. Oh, David lived in a cave. Are we better than him? And I don't want to live in a cave. I've got a little house there paid for. I thank God for it. But the point I'm trying to get to you, sometimes we just have hard times in life. And by the grace of God, He helps us. And with His strength, we're able to endure and go on for His glory. I tell you what we need to do. What we need to do in these days that we're living in, we just need to endure the afflictions we're facing. And then let me give you one last point, and I'm gonna quit. In chapter 4, let's read verse 5 again. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Notice this. I mean, in perilous times, here's what he said, do. Do the work of an evangelist. Well, what is that? That's seeking the lost. That's witnessing. Can I say that to you? Let me just take a minute and say this. I don't care how difficult the times get, we've still been given the Great Commission. That's still our marching orders. That's still what God has called us to do. He said to old Timothy, you're going to see some perilous times. It's going to get worse and worse. But you just remember this. You just do the work of an evangelist. You just witness. You seek them sinners. You go out of your way. And so I just want to challenge us today. I don't know if there's a soul tuned in or not, and it doesn't really matter. I've just had a good time being in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I'm here today. But here's what Paul told young Timothy. You continue. You focus on the Word of God. Be faithful. Be patient. Be watchful. Endure. And then you witness. Try to get sinners saved for the glory of God. If we'll do that, you'd be surprised. One of these days we'll wake up, and this thing will have passed. It'll pass. And we'll go on to something else. And we'll face something else after that and something else. But until we do, let's heed Paul's advice to young Timothy. And let's you and I continue on. And knowing this, that the Lord, He's still on the throne. Our God's on the throne. He's not wringing His hands with worry. He's not up at night with anxiety. He's in total control. And He'll do what's right. Again, I want to close with this. Sister Sharon, if you or you and Janie, whoever's going to sing, would come. Be making your way up. I want to close with this. Just remember this. I said it earlier. I want to say it again in closing. He loves us too much to do us wrong, and He's too wise to make a mistake. Let's look to Him, trust Him. Church, let's trust Him, and let Him do through us what He wants to do in these difficult days. God bless you is my prayer.